happens. And I work in a place where, like, nobody really wears, like, a ton of makeup. Like, one of my coworkers might wear a little bit of eyeshadow, but, like, that's it.
Here's the thing, though. With eyebrows, 9 times out of 10 people don't know that you do your eyebrows.
No, which is wild to me, because you can tell I do my eyebrows.
But they you just get used to it, and it's just part of, like, your day-to-day.
So when people don't see it, like, they're like,
do my eyebrows look overly done right now?
No.
No, they just look like thick eyebrows.
Like normal.
Well, when I shower or wake up in the morning, they're like 4 long, straggly hairs over each eye.
I will say, though, that there is a difference between, like, Comic-Con eyebrows and, like, day-to-day eyebrows.
Yeah.
Now that, like, I'm thinking about it.
Like, right now, those are your day-to-day eyebrows.
These are my day-to-day eyebrows.
And that's how mine are, too.
If I were to go to Comic-Con, they would be, like, a little bit sleeker and, like, darker and more, like, defined.
Why are you comparing day-to-day to Comic-Con?
Because I really miss Comic-Con. It's so drastic. A lot. And I don't know when we're going to go again.
Do you remember the last time I was at Comic-Con?
Like, 5 years ago?
My eyebrows were glued down, and I had painted-on eyebrows.
I know. Yeah.
So it's very different. I would say, like, currently you have your going out eyebrows.
Yes. Going out eyebrows. And then if it's raining outside and I just want to watch Outlander on the couch eyebrows.
Do you do your eyebrows when you're sitting around the house?
I do.
I do too. Well,
not all the time. At night, let's be real.
And then I pencil them in at night, and then by morning they've they've blended.
You
are
not
really
supposed to wear any makeup to bed. Do you like wash your face and stuff before you go to bed?
Well, I shower before I go to bed. Oh, so yeah.
Do you wear waterproof mascara?
No. Oh. And then I shower, and then I put on all of my like anti-aging cream, and then I fill in my eyebrows. And then in the morning, I might rinse my face with cold water. But then my brows are still done. They're just like muted from the overnight.
I like wash all of my makeup off at night, but I wear waterproof mascara. So there might be like one or two days a month that I don't take the mascara off. But I
do. Why do you wear waterproof mascara?
I'm very emotional and I just.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Fine. It suits me better.
It's better for your lifestyle. No. Well, I own some, but that's like for camping.
Really?
My waterproof mascara is for camping.
Oh, like when you're swimming and stuff?
Yeah. Or if I'm like staying at a hotel with a pool.
Or if you're being active.
Not even active, because my eyes don't water very much. If I'm out in the rain, I guess. But even then, the mascara that I wear doesn't, like, drip all down my face crazy.
It's not like Harley Quinn mascara.
No. Mm. That was my phone. I don't know.
Okay. I was like, what is that?
I had something to say. Your sweater, you look like you should be on Star Trek.
You know, okay, so today, while I was at work, I took the Pottermore quiz. I redid that one just to see what I got. And then I did that extensive percentage Potter quiz, and I got Hufflepuff. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, talking to my friend Tyler about it, too, because he's Gryffindor. And I was just like, yeah, like, I'm Hufflepuff. And he, like, looked at my sweater, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't tell because my sweater is, like, Hufflepuff yellow.
Yes. It's also original Star Trek.
Yes.
Yellow.
Like, the gold.
Which was also, I think it was actually green. Like, what they wore was actually, like, a weird green.
Really?
But it filmed as gold.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Ah, little factoid.
And I think it was kind of the olive green of the time that was popular, but for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, when it filmed under the lights and everything, it was that
exact
color.
That's so weird. It's like, is the dress black and blue, or is it white and whatever, periwinkle, whatever the color was.
I think it was black and blue and white and gold.
Oh, yeah. Our minds are strange.
Well, that was, it was just how it was filmed.
Anyway. Let's do this.
Okay.
It's been very, like, dreary out. I think that's everybody's problem, too, and just the state of the world. But anywho.
The state of the world, overall dreary.
Overall, forecast rain for eternity. Anyway. Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going back to the desert in Tremors, which came out in 1990. It's an hour and 36 minutes, and it's directed by Ron Underwood. I believe Tremors is his first film.
I have no idea, so I'll take your word for that.
His first big film, anyway. And then shortly after, he did City Slickers, and he has also worked on Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was written by Ron Underwood, Brent Maddock, and Maddock, and S.S. Wilson. You can find Tremors on Stars if you're subbed, Apple TV if you're subbed, or Amazon Prime if you're subbed. Otherwise, it's $3.99 on Apple and Prime.
Okay.
If you're not.
So, I had to rent it, which I was surprised because I thought for sure I had it on DVD, but.
Yeah, there's like no way in hell I have that on DVD. We only have like 10.
Oh, yeah, you like downsized.
Completely downsized. Well, with all of the streaming services and stuff, it's like.
Yeah. We still have a decent collection.
You have a ton. Yeah. But it's handy for stuff like this when you can just like go and pull it off the shelf. Mm-hmm. Not in this case, but in most cases.
I thought we had one and two. Maybe we got rid of them.
All right. This stars Kevin Bacon as Valentine. He was in Footloose and Stir of Echoes and lots of other things.
Okay. I guess if I had to like think of movies that he's been in off the top of my head, I would definitely say Footloose and Stir of Echoes.
Yes. Which we should do Stir of Echoes. That's been...
We've talked about it, yeah.
We've talked about it, yes. Fred Ward, who recently passed away, mm-hmm. I think a few weeks ago, he's Earl, and he was in Summer Catch and Joe Dirt.
I always forget about him and Joe Dirt. He's so terrible in that.
I know. Finn Carter is Rhonda, the geology intern. She was on As the World Turns and NYPD Blue. I think on NYPD Blue, she was only in like a couple episodes. I don't think she was like a massively recurring character. Mm-hmm. Michael Gross as Bert. He was in Family Ties and pretty much all of the Tremors movies after this.
Yeah, I do have to bring up. So he was on Family Ties. They did their show finale, mm-hmm. like very last episode cast party. The next day he came to film Tremors.
I love it. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So he went like totally different character.
Yeah, I would say so. Reba McEntire as Heather, Bert's wife. She was in Reba, Fried Green Tomatoes, the TV series, which is coming out. And yeah,
There's a series?
TV series that's coming out soon, and I'm very excited for it because I love the movie.
It always makes you cry.
Yes. Train Tracks. Yes. Awful. And obviously, country music phenomenon. Should I go through the rest of them? There are a few. Let's see. Mindy is played by Ariana Richards, and she was in Jurassic Park mm-hmm. and Boy Meets World. Miguel is played by Tony Gennaro. I probably butchered that last name. He was in Nash Bridges, and he was the bus driver in The Craft.
Yes.
We are the weirdos, mister. That's such a good line. Let's see if there are any other. I mean, they're all pretty good.
The store owner.
Victor Wong.
Yeah.
As Walter. Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
And he was in Prince of Darkness and a lot of other, like, 70s and 80s. Film.
He's a very famous actor.
Yes. Let's see. I think that's good. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, there are other characters, but I feel like if I talk a half an hour about the cast, then.
True. It was filmed in Lone Pine, California, where Gladiator, Iron Man, Man of Steel, and Star Trek V were all filmed. That's really all I got. I didn't write I had more to say about it than research.
Anything. Mm-hmm. All right.
So basically, Tremors is...
Oh, speaking of Star Trek, Bebe Besh, who plays the Doctor's wife, was in Wrath of Khan.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Northern Exposure. Northern Exposure, okay. I mentioned that more for Mom because that's like her favorite show. So I better mention that.
It was a good show.
It was a good show.
The whole... So this film is based in the desert. Very tiny community. There's like 14 people that live in this tiny little town in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a post office, hospital, school, nothing.
There's just one road in and one road out.
Yep, one little general store that it seems like everybody orders things at.
The town of Perfection.
Perfection. And they get attacked, I guess
attacked.
Giant worms from underground come and eat people.
Subterranean.
Graboids.
Graboids.
Yes.
Yes.
Come and eat people. So Val and Earl, main characters.
I love the banter between those two. It was so natural to me.
Agreed.
I love it.
Well, during filming, a lot of their reactions were like kept in.
Okay.
Like... where they didn't start to laugh at each other, but they kind of gave each other like the side eye, and mm-hmm. those were the cuts that they used.
Yeah. I had the biggest crush on Kevin Bacon in this movie too, growing up. Yeah. He's real cute.
Yeah, he's so tan. He's like a super tan cowboy.
Yes. He's a handy man.
Excuse me, hired hands.
So yeah, they're... hired hands for the people of Perfection and like the surrounding area.
And Earl's character is played by, I can't remember his name.
Fred Ward. Mm-hmm.
They're hired hands. It starts out, they're just like talking about work. They're like out in the range repairing fence. Yeah,
they're just bullshitting.
Yeah. Val and Earl kind of gets after Val for like only liking big, sexy dummies.
Yeah.
Like
she
himself.
She will have long, blonde hair. Long, blonde legs.
Long, blonde legs.
Or long legs.
Yeah. So he has this, like, thing he's looking for. Well, they're driving. They see the new geologist that's in town.
And Fred's just like... I guess she's a woman, and they like drive. Yeah, they're like so super they, like, excited.
Fly their truck across like the plains to meet this mm-hmm. this new summer scientist.
Yeah.
Well, she's like, she's beautiful.
She's so pretty,
but
yeah.
She's not Val's requirements of beauty.
She is tan.
She's tan.
She has short brown hair.
Yes.
Very nice looking. But not Val's type.
When they meet, she's also wearing like baggy
she's
cargo
wearing,
shorts.
Yeah.
She's got white sunscreen all over her nose.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a conversation with them, and then she touches her face and realizes.
And she's like, oh. Well. There it is.
She's not what Val's looking for.
No.
But then Earl is kind of like, hey.
He is, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show some interest. Well, Val and Earl, they show up at the diner. This is kind of foreshadowing, but they're the diner / store / post office.
Yeah.
Everything. They show up there and the cooler is on the fritz where it's like making a bunch of noise. It's like a big ice cream cooler. But when the motor turns on, it, like, makes a shit ton of noise.
Yeah.
That'll come up later. While this is happening, you see Rhonda, like, out in the field. So she's doing, like, seismographic work?
I don't know. Yeah. I think, and this is just, like, my guess, but I think that there might be like a plate shift in that area, and that's why she's out there doing research. That's just from my geology courses at school why she would be out there doing work like that.
Well, she's out there, and then they do this like old-timey horror movie thing where she's walking around doing stuff, mm-hmm. and you see something like looking at her from like ground level at a distance, and then it gets like closer yes. and closer and closer to her. And then she just happens to like get in her truck mm-hmm. and shut the door on whatever's trying to get
yeah. her. Yeah. So it doesn't get her.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yet.
She's fine.
Well, so that happened. Val and Earl have been going back and forth about leaving Perfection for a very long time and moving to Bixby, which I'm assuming is a town smaller than Nagani.
But bigger.
But bigger than what they're currently in.
Yeah.
They're moving to, like, they want to move to a different city. They keep going back and forth about how, like, you know, they have to get out of that town.
Yeah, because there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
All of the things.
So they do that. They kind of argue about leaving town. Finally, they're pumping somebody's septic tank.
Melvin, the little punk.
Yeah.
His septic tank. And he's just like sitting there on the porch.
Well, the line explodes, throws sewage all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it.
And that's what it took, that I guess.
Earl's like final yeah. straw. So they pack up their truck. On the way out, they get stopped by Nancy. They're still going to leave town.
Yeah.
Nancy's like another one. Nancy's Mindy's mom.
Yes.
Mindy likes pogo sticks a lot.
Which the actress that played Nancy, Charlotte Stewart, was a recurring character on Little House on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. And she was in Eraserhead, like the 1977 one.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Greg recognized her and looked her up, and I think that's what he said, like Little House on the yep. Prairie. I never got into that show, so.
It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, they're leaving town. Fuck that. So they get out of town, or they're on their way, and they see someone up a telephone pole.
Edgar. The town drunk.
So they see him, and they're driving, and they're like, fuck, we should help him. It's, you know, they recognize his jacket. He's yeah. only got that one coat. So they stop. Val climbs up the pole. And when he gets to the top, he sees that Edgar's dead.
Yes. Edgar is played by Sunshine Parker, and he was also in Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They find him up there because they think he's drunk. He climbed yeah. the pole. Well, he has, like, a gun. And he's up the pole. Well, the doctor comes, checks him out. Or, you know, they take yeah. him back. The doctor shows up. He died of dehydration.
Can you tell if somebody has died of dehydration just by, like, giving them a...
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Because he didn't have any marks on him.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's a way to, like, tell.
I'm sure he was also probably wasted when he, like... shambled up there. If he's like the town drunk, like maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
And alcohol dehydrates you.
Dehydrates?
Whatever.
I don't know. Either way, it doesn't dehydrate you to death.
That's true. Although sometimes you feel like it will.
That's a hangover, yes. But he climbed up there and was up there for like 3 or 4 days. I don't know how the doctor determined that.
Yeah, who knows?
So they're trying to leave again. The second time they try to leave, all this stuff's going on. Like, there's a sheep farmer. You see him...
Old Fred.
Yeah, get pulled under the...
He reminds me of Freddy Krueger.
A little bit,
he yeah. looks like... Because he's... he has, like, the raggedy shirt on.
I think,
like,
it's the hat.
I think it's the hat, too. Yeah. Yeah.
So...
He gets... He, like, feels something kind of coming up in the ground... And then he gets dragged under. His sheep are going crazy.
Yeah. So when they're leaving again.
It's just, it's nonstop for these poor guys.
They're not going to get out of town. And they make the joke about it too. they drive past the sheep pen, which is trash. There's like blood and guts all over it. Then they see like a mound of dirt with a hat on it. And when they pick up the hat, the head is underneath.
The face. Oh, gosh.
Yes.
That scared me so bad when I was little.
When they were on their way out, too, they passed road workers. There's two road workers. They get back.
They warn the construction workers, too. They're like, you got a killer. Like, you guys need to get out of here, blah, blah, blah. And one of them is like, oh, like, maybe we should leave. And then the other one's like, meh.
The other one's like, no, they're drunk. No big deal. Well, one of the road workers is using a jackhammer.
This part was gross.
I know. So he's like hammering away and he like sticks one of the graboids.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, blood's coming out of the dirt and he's just looking at it like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, he lets go of the jackhammer, but the cord was wrapped around his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So once the graboid got stuck with the giant freaking post thing.
Yeah.
He goes like flying off.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. I'm just watching. I'm listening.
So he gets like drug up the mountain or like through the mountain or whatever.
That must have just, oh, God, that must have been painful.
And then that caused an avalanche. And the avalanche blocked the road and killed the other worker.
Yes. How unfortunate for that guy. He's the one that, like, wanted to get out of there, too.
Exactly. My notes are, like, all over the place. Okay. So, Earl and Val try to leave again. They get up the road and realize that the road is blocked with the avalanche. They see a bloody helmet. They back up and turn around when Val's driving. So he backs up. He gets hung up, supposedly.
Yeah.
So he's like revving it, trying to get it out of there, nothing. And then all of a sudden he like breaks free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they get back to the little convenience store, there's a big giant like snake looking thing hanging off the axle.
It's so gross.
It's super gross. What?
Nothing.
Oh, you can jump in at any time. Did you even write notes?
I did. Yep. I wrote down, I love that Bert is all into government conspiracy theories because he immediately goes to government experiment on whatever. Bert's great.
Bert is pretty great. Oh, it's that evening. So they get back to the store. There's only a few people in town. They find this like giant snake thing. Four people now are dead.
Yes.
Well, the doctor and his wife are that night are still out at their construction site, like working on their house.
Yeah, this part is so sad to me.
So they're building their dream house.
In the desert.
Mm-hmm.
They have a generator going.
The generator's going. All of a sudden, it cuts out.
Yeah.
And they're, like, joking back and forth, like, you know, happy banter, like, oh, it's going to be so great living here, whatever. So the guy gets up when the generator goes out to check, and there's just, like, a cord going into the ground. So he...
If that would have been... me or Mike, I mean, I suppose the doctor's wife did what she could. She was just like, no, we have to get out of here. Like, what are you doing?
You wouldn't think it was like a sinkhole or something? Because he's like, oh, it's a sinkhole.
It's this a geological thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then not only does the generator disappear into the ground, a few minutes later, it gets spit up out of the ground like 10 yards away.
I don't know if that's something that I would investigate at night. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. It's easy to say, like, yes or no sitting here, but, like, well, she says, let's get the fuck out. He says, no, I want to, like, investigate. Well, then he gets pulled under.
And it's awful. She's, like, holding on to him, and it's just...
She's holding on to him. Then she puts a board across the hole that he's like sinking into. Then you kind of tell that he's getting eaten.
Yeah.
By like
the noises. The noises. And screams.
And then he disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So then she runs for it. She gets in the back of their like station wagon.
Yeah.
Shuts the door, gets the keys, gets in the front. She kicks over this little like battery operated radio.
Which Reba McEntire song's playing.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Well then
Reba.
Then the monsters, the graboids who have not yet been named, start to pull the whole car under.
What a terrible way to die. I would rather be eaten alive.
Yeah, me too.
Than to just be like buried. I mean, you can assume that they like
broke. I think she got buried, but like the back windows were breaking out.
Yeah.
As it was like filling with sand. So I think that she probably died. Like they probably still ate her.
That's just awful. Being dragged in to a vehicle and then ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
And then the car is gone. And that is a super neat scene because the car goes like straight up and then you see a far away shot and you see the headlights disappear.
That was a budget thing.
So cool.
That was a budget.
Could they not
actually like, sink a car? The whole car. So what they did is like tipped it up to a point, shot the scenes that they did, and then backed way up on it. So you just saw, like, the dark night sky and the lights turn up and then disappear.
It's so good.
It is really good. I would like to say, though, that Jim, the doctor, gets very dramatically pulled under.
He does. It's very...
It's a big scene.
That's a Jaws scene if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Then it goes back to the diner / store. Bert wants to set up a perimeter.
Which he says, what have you guys got against being prepared? He's like,
which is true,
all about it.
But to him, to the other people in the community, he's like a gun nut. Like he's, you know, it's just personalities.
Yes.
There's no phone and there's no road.
No.
So they are pretty much stuck there. They decide that Val and Earl should try to take horses out.
Yeah. Which I love when they're like getting on their horses and stuff and they have rifles. And Reba comes out and says something. Y'all going to have to take something that packs a little bit more than a 30-30. And she like hands over like, here, have my whatever.
Well, what's funny about that is because during the whole thing, Val and Earl do rock, paper, scissors for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, they had like a pistol and a rifle between Earl and Val.
Yeah.
And they rock, paper, scissored. So then Val, I think it was, got the rifle.
Yes.
So he thought he was like hot shit. Well, then Heather comes out. And is like, oh, you're going to have to take something bigger than that to the pistol and says, take my whatever it is. I don't know enough about guns to, like, remember all that.
They, in IMDb, they listed off all of the guns that Bert and Heather shot.
That would be impressive. In the basement scene.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot to say about the basement
scene. Yes, I do too. And I'm, yeah.
So, all right, Val and Earl, they take the horses. They hear the radio. They see that the car's gone.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, maybe they went to town. Maybe they bought shit for their house.
Well, where in the hell is the goddamn golden oldie coming from?
Exactly. So they...
Because the radio's still playing.
Yes.
Ugh.
It kind of... Oh, you probably never read it. There was a Stephen King short story called Dolan's Cadillac.
No.
Where it was like a mafia guy... Well, okay, a guy's wife witnesses, like, a hit and stands trial and gets murdered. So her husband, by the mafia.
Yeah.
And her husband creates this, like, elaborate plan where he, like, digs up this giant stretch of highway in the desert that he knows that, like, the head guy travels on. And then digs this giant pit and then puts all of the road, the asphalt, back over the top of it to make like a giant tiger trap for an entire vehicle and buries them alive.
Mike, if I ever witness a mafia hit and I have to go to trial and die, will you do that? Yes. Done.
The buried car, though, just reminded me. Ugh. So they start digging where the music is coming from and find headlights.
Would you have tried to have dug up the car?
No.
Okay.
I'd assume whoever was in there would be dead.
That's true.
Shortly after, one of the horses gets taken down.
It's just like when Artax dies. It's not. That's way worse.
No. It's Artax is way worse.
Yeah.
I
always see like the memes on Facebook.
Like, thanks for ruining my childhood.
Thanks for ruining my childhood.
They actually see it, though. They see a graboid.
Yes.
At this point, when the horse gets attacked. So they just book it. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I thought at this scene, the fence post thing would be, or I thought the fence post thing was really cool.
I thought it was really cool because earlier in the movie, they were like putting up those fence posts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as they're running away, the graboid is underground, like busting out all the fence posts as they run. Oh, back to the doctor and his wife building the house.
Yeah.
How had they not heard that there was a murderer?
Well, it happened quick, though. Like, it all happened
within... And there's 15 people in this town.
Yeah. But maybe they don't... They are... I thought that they were far, like, further away from the people in town.
They were, like, 10 minutes by horse.
Oh. Like... yeah. That's true.
Like, it seems like someone would have been like, I'm going up there to tell them. I mean...
That's true.
Not even that there is, like, a potential serial killer or, like, something crazy, but just the fact that, like, people had been dying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's a good point. And I want to know, too, why was the doctor pulled all the way in, but old Fred's face was still there?
I think his face might have ripped off.
Ugh. That's worse. Yuck.
That's how I took it. It's like he got pulled under, but there was like gravel or something, and like it popped his face off.
Yuck.
So they're running. Well, then they run into like a cement, like rain thing.
Yeah, it's like a big trench that was dug.
A big cement trench.
But it's cement, yeah.
And that kills one.
Which I find interesting because the cement wasn't that thick.
No, but there was like rebar and stuff in it too. Yeah,
that's true.
It wasn't just
I suppose if it was going fast enough.
And yeah, so it runs into the cement. Well, then Rhonda shows up and they start talking and she busts out like all her graphs and like paperwork. And she said there's at least three more.
Yeah.
When this happens, they go running for the rocks. They ended up getting stranded on the rocks.
Residual boulders.
Yes, the residual boulders.
Which is an accurate description.
I want to know why it would wait for them.
Because it's not like it would jump up and eat them.
I know, but, like, why wouldn't it at one point just give up and, like, go find other food? Don't you think that's weird?
I do think it's weird.
That it would sit there and wait, like, 24
like
hours.
Like, for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know it can hear them, but still.
Maybe in hopes that it would.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Stranded on these boulders. They sit there overnight. Then they decide that they're going to go for the truck because she has a plan that they're going to pole vault.
And I love it because Earl then says to Val, like, as Rhonda's, like, getting the poles together, he's just like, did Jamie Lynn Baxter do much pole vaulting? Because Jamie Lynn Baxter is like the
Tammy Lynn.
Is it Tammy?
Well, he says two different names.
I thought it was Jamie Lynn. Maybe Tammy Lynn and Jamie Lynn.
Because one of them says like Tammy Lynn and the other one says like something Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are like his ideal women that he did date, but they were stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just beautiful dummies.
Mm-hmm. Earl likes to bring up a lot that Rhonda is nice looking and very smart.
Yes.
Yes.
I liked in the pole vaulting scene, how clear it was that they were all stunt doubles.
Yes. Absolutely.
I can always tell by Kevin Bacon's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime, I mean, it's more noticeable than other films from this time. Mm-hmm. But he'll be doing something and it's a very thick, like, dense wig.
Yes.
It is not Kevin Bacon's flowing locks.
No, not at all. He does have very nice hair in this too.
He does, but you can like you can tell though.
Yeah.
It's clearly stunt people. So they pole vault through the rocks and then they like 3-2-1 into the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm. To which Kevin Bacon then punches a graboid in the face. Because they're, like, coming up over the truck. You have Rhonda, like, opening up the back of the truck to, like...
Yeah, she opens up the back window
to drive with her hands, like, gas pedal with her hands and stuff. And then Earl and Val are in the back.
Which is very dangerous because no one is telling her what way to go.
No, not at all. And Val just punches one in the face. I love it. Or the tongue face.
Yeah. So the graboids are like a big sandworm, but then they have like, what, 3 or 4? Like snake, like biting tentacles that come out of their mouth.
Yes, they don't have eyes. No. And the front of them reminds me a lot of like a Star Wars creature, and I can't think of what it is. But it's like a hard shell up front.
Like not the worms?
No, not the Sarlacc or... the worms from Dune. I'll think of it and then try and show you later.
Just something else like bitey?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I had a couple books on like the Star Wars creatures and stuff just because I was super interested. Imagination. Wow. For days.
They get back to the store and start planning. They're like, oh, well, if... you know, nobody can get through on the phone lines and nobody can get down the road. People will like come and look for us. And then it like flashes to a phone company truck where the truck is just parked with the door open on the other side of the.
And like, why is it just this valley that's getting hit? Are they just like moving down the line? Like, wouldn't there be other.
I think they originated in the valley.
Okay.
It says in like the second and third ones. They have more of, like, an origin.
Okay.
This one, they just show up out of nowhere. And
I think I've honestly only seen the second one. The right. one with, like, the jumpy ones.
Oh, yeah. Then there's some that fly, I think.
In, like, the third or fourth one, I think.
I think there's a bunch. Sorry, I can't stop yawning. It's been a long day. No one's really taking it seriously. Walter... names them graboids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're like, they're coming, blah, blah, blah. This is serious. And everyone's like, what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
Well, then Mindy is pogoing down the street.
She's up to like 650.
She's at this point, she's probably higher.
Yeah.
The boy.
Melvin.
Melvin. They go outside because Melvin was out there like playing basketball and fucking around, and he's up a phone pole or up a light pole.
Because they hear a scream.
Yeah.
And Mindy's just pogoing along with a Walkman.
Yes. Everyone sees them at this point. So everyone knows it's like a real thing.
Yeah.
They get under the store. They go over the thing, like no vibrations. Everyone be quiet. Well, then Mindy's still fucking outside on her pogo stick.
Just having the time of her life. Not a care in the world. Where do these kids go to school?
They're homeschooled, I'm sure.
Okay. I mean, there are only 2 kids in town, but...
Yeah.
What a terrible time that would have been.
To be one of the two kids in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bixby can't be like that far away, though.
I mean, they're pretty secluded.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was thinking about that. If it was like summer vacation. Perfection is
based on an actual town that's like 40 miles from anything.
Okay.
So they're like out there. So Val sees her on the pogo stick, runs, mm-hmm. grabs her just in time. Pogo stick goes under. It shoots up in a different spot. At this point, Rhonda tries to run and gets wrapped up in barbed wire.
Her legs would have been, like, demolished.
Oh, she does have, like, some little tiny cuts.
She has little tiny cuts. But, yeah, this scene was not rehearsed.
Yes.
Because she wanted it to be accurate with a pants-off, dance-off in front of Kevin Bacon.
I understand that would be a little awkward.
Yeah. So she gets wrapped up in the barbed wire and the graboid is just like pulling her closer. So she like gets her pants off and everything.
Val comes out and like undoes her boots and like,
yeah.
is trying to like get her out of her pants too, because
yeah.
that's like her only way to yeah. escape. And also probably the only way they could put someone in this film running around in their underwear for 5 minutes.
Yes.
I don't know, like, how else that would happen.
I don't know either.
They're like, we really need a cute chick in her underwear.
Yes.
How can we make happen?
We make this happen.
Barbed wire. In the desert.
Barbed wire.
She's a fairly conservative geologist.
You don't know that she's conservative.
I don't mean, like, politically conservative. I mean, she just doesn't seem like a...
Moral conservative.
Morally conservative.
Yes.
A mellow person.
Okay.
Not, like, flamboyant in any way.
That's true. She was doing geology work in, like, knee-length shorts and not cutoffs and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not, like, trying to put herself out there. Conservatively dressed.
No, she's
dressed.
Doing work.
Exactly. She's working. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. But her legs would have been, like, so tore up.
Well, shortly after, Val is, like, very delicately, like, bandaging
iodining
up her
legs. Her wounds.
Oh, okay. So he rescues her. She's running around in her undies. The cooler comes on. At that point, Chang is eaten.
Like very graphically.
Yes.
It's very sad.
The graboid comes up like through the through the floor yes. of the store and grabs him.
Ugh, it's awful.
It is. And then he like spins around with him hanging out of his mouth. It's kind of Jaws.
It is, yeah. Yes.
The guys in the building are in the restaurant, climb up on the shelves. Rhonda climbs up on like the food shelves that go down the aisles, mm-hmm. not like along the wall.
She is given pants at this point.
She does
has
have pants,
pants
on now.
And shoes now.
Yes. That's another thing.
I just wanted to make sure that people knew that she wasn't just running around in her
more
skivvies
people would watch
for the
it,
entire
though, if you
movie.
Said the rest of the film, Rhonda run around in her undies. They all decide to go for the roof. Well, the graboids are, like, thinking now, and they somehow rock the shelves over and push Rhonda out the window.
Yeah.
So when she goes out the window, Val thinks it's, like, over for her. He gets up on the roof, runs over, and sees that she climbed up the water tower nearby.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bert and Heather have been out... looking for the graboids.
This is like Mom and Dad circa 1978.
Yeah. So they are out patrolling. They see no signs of graboids.
Nope.
But when they get back, Bert sees everyone up on the roof.
He does.
With binoculars.
Yes.
He looks down towards the town.
He's like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah. Heather randomly plugs in this, like, shell, like, gun shell polisher.
Yes.
or tumbler that's like
making a lot of noise.
That's making a shit ton of noise in their like basement gun room.
Yeah.
They
But are, she didn't know though.
No, they're on the radio though with town. Greg pointed out that the radio in town is not plugged into anything.
It's not plugged into anything. Nope.
So they're like communicating back and forth. They're like, get up on your roof. She's like, what the fuck? Like, they don't, it doesn't communicate well.
Yeah.
They don't find out in time that they need to get out of their basement. And
this scene's wild.
Yeah. A graboid bursts through their basement wall. And then they just, like, blast the shit out of it.
The only time ear covering happens is when Bert grabs the elephant gun. And Reba puts her hands over her ears.
Okay. This is a huge problem for me.
Okay.
For those that have never fired a gun of any kind.
Inside or outside.
They're very loud.
They are very loud.
It's very loud. Mm-hmm. And they are just shooting everything they have in a, like, 10 by 10 basement.
It's bigger than 10 by 10. Not that it makes a difference, but...
This room's not even 10 by 10, I don't think.
I would say the basement they have is as big as my living room and dining room.
No.
Really?
It's smaller than that.
Maybe living room, then.
Because so many people know how big your living room is. Anyway.
I know, but, like, you're looking at it...
It's, like, the size of a dorm room.
It's bigger. Well, that's beside anyway, the point. We're not going to argue about the size of the room.
Imagine your living room with like bunk beds on one side and two desks on the other, and that's about the size of a dorm room.
Dorm rooms are 12 by 12. That's not 12 by 12.
Dorm rooms are 10 by 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up. No, they're not. That's so tiny.
I don't know.
I thought they were 12 by 12. Anyway. Tiny ass Somebody room tell in us. The basement.
Anyway, it's a small basement room and they're shooting guns in it. Yeah. And all I could think is like, they would not be able to hear for days.
No, their eardrums would be exploded.
Yes.
Especially like he fires an elephant gun.
The elephant gun is the same make and model that they used in Ready or Not.
I would say Jumanji too,
I think. Which that tiny girl... shoots indoors and like doesn't even flinch.
She stumbles, doesn't she, a little bit?
I mean, flinch like it'd be fucking loud.
Yeah.
And, like, makes me really mad.
Yeah.
Guns are loud. If you shot one in the house, it would be deafening.
Yes.
Anyway.
I knew you were going to say something about that, and I think I wrote down.
Because it bothers me.
Yes.
All right. So then the graboids are going house to house and, like, shaking the houses. Mm-hmm. They knock the dad. What's his name? I wrote Lester.
But Nestor.
Yeah, Nestor. Mm-hmm. I called him the red shirt because nobody gives a shit what happens to him.
He said maybe, like, two things the entire film.
I knew he was going to die, like, they take him out.
Well, like... He's on top of his camper, and the graboids, like, knock him off his
camper.
They knock
the camper over, yeah. And he falls off.
And then he goes to, like, this tractor tire and, like, sits on it, and Kevin Bacon is just like, no, you need to get higher. And he's like, what? And then they get him, like, through the tire. It's gross.
Yuck. Well, then Bert and Heather talk about, like, taking their car down and getting everybody, because the plan kind of comes around that they're going to, like, get everybody off the buildings and go to the mountains. The graboids then go trash Bert and Heather's car.
How do they know?
I know. Who knows? They don't know. Then they decide to take, like, a big giant tractor and take that and pull a trailer and take that to the mountains. Well, in order to get there, Val or Earl has to, like, run to the tractor.
Yeah.
So they need a distraction. So they start up, like, a little lawnmower.
They ask Melvin if he wants to make a buck.
Yes.
And Melvin's like, no.
So the little, like, lawn tractor goes, like, taking off down the road. Val jumps down, makes a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the little tractor tips over.
Yeah, he like shoves Earl out of the way because Earl
wins the rock, paper, scissors to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Val's like, fuck it, I'm a faster runner than you, whatever.
Yeah.
What I thought was funny about this is that sometimes the graboids are super fast and you can't outrun them. And other times you can. Like in this scene, graboids are so fast.
Yes.
Like they were going in a totally different direction. Somehow they're going to beat them. But then in the end scene, they like outsprint them.
Yes. I know. Anyway. There are inconsistencies in a 1990 sci-fi movie. I know it's hard to hear that.
Which this didn't win any awards, I don't think. However, because it was kind of a flop at the box office, but after it did really well on like DVD and VHS.
Yeah.
And they made like three times what it made released in the theater.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Val makes a run to the big tractor. He gets there. But in the meantime, he gets like halfway there and a graboid corners them. Two, I think. And the people in town, to distract him, distract the graboids, start making all this noise. And Rhonda, since she's on the water tower, kicks out the pipe.
She does a lot of clutch moves in this.
She is. She's impressive.
To differentiate from Tammy Lynn. Yes. I think they purposely did that just so.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So he gets into the tractor, attaches a trailer, goes and rescues all the people. They meet up with Bert and Heather.
Who are putting together, like,
pipe bombs.
Pipe bombs.
Yeah.
And when Val, like, asks him what, he's like, what the hell's in those, Bert? A few household chemicals in the proper proportions. And I was just like, oh, it's like Dad.
Yes. I said with Dad, I feel like we never used the proper proportions and always ended up pulling something up weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to know why no one brought, like, a single bottle of water.
That's... Holy shit! I wrote that down. I don't know where I wrote that down.
But they're putting, like, bags of shit in there and no water?
Yes.
The pipe bombs are good. Like, I get it. But, like, 5 or 10 gallons of water would probably be better.
No, for sure. Like, I was wondering that because they don't know how long they're going to be...
And then when they're traveling. All sitting on the rocks, they're all just, like, sitting out baking in the sun. They're not, like, trying to get in the shade at all.
I'm like, it would be hot as fuck.
Or cover their faces, or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm annoyed that none of them have water.
That is super annoying.
And you would
think
that, like, the preppers would have, like, water and
you
stuff.
You would think. So they see the graboids in the distance, and they see, like, almost, like, the whale, like, plumes. Like, mm-hmm. They just see sand, like, spraying up. Well, they're driving the tractor along almost to the mountains, and the graboids had dug, like, a trap for them. Which, that's another thing, like...
Sometimes they're real smart.
Sometimes monsters are smart, sometimes they're dumb.
Yes.
Like, it's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
So they sink the tractor. They decide they have to get out of there, so they all run for the rocks.
Which,
they're also not running very fast.
Melvin asks for a gun, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. And so Bert, like, gives him a gun, and it's a revolver. And they, like, shimmy up the rocks and stuff. And Melvin looks at the gun. He's like, it's not even loaded.
No, he tries to shoot when he's
running.
Oh,
he tries to shoot.
They're all running, and he turns and tries to shoot. And he's like, what the fuck?
And then Bert's just like, what? Do you think I'd honestly give you a loaded gun? And before he puts it back, he checks to make sure it's not loaded again. Like, Melvin didn't, like...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something like, oh, that motivated you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he says something like that. They make it to the rock. Bert and Val kind of, like, argue. They're trying to, like, think of a plan. They start fishing with the pipe bombs.
Mm-hmm.
One actually takes the bait.
And blows up. And I really like that Bert is just like, this is my cannon fuse. And he's like putting the fuses in and stuff. And Kevin Bacon's just like, what do you use cannon fuse for? And Bert's just like, my cannon.
Duh.
I'm like, ugh. It's just great.
I love them, but they're also like so extreme that.
Yes. Well, my cannon. Duh. Why didn't you bring your cannon?
They could have.
They could have.
There's also like plot holes too, where there was multiple times where like the Graboids came up through the dirt where they could have been shooting at them.
Yes.
Because they weren't shooting at them when they were under like the 2 inches of dirt, which makes sense because the bullets like can't penetrate as far.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's okay.
So one takes the bait and explodes, and it's super gross because it like rains down like chunks of meat all over them on the rocks. The second one takes the bait and then spits the bomb back
conveniently
onto the bag of bombs.
Mm-hmm. Those residual boulders,
yes,
would have probably been done so, or at least more damage than what they were.
Well,
with like 15 pipe bombs,
it's probably not going to do anything to the rocks.
Yeah,
but Val, Earl, and Rhonda all like booked it off the rocks when there was going to be an explosion. Well, then they're trapped out there. What?
Nothing. I had to yawn and I didn't want to like yawn.
So they run out there and they're like standing silently, but they're still all whispering to each other.
Yes. They're.
That was frustrating. Yes. Like, they can tell if you're like walking, but not if you're talking to each other. Like, yeah. Then they decide there's one pipe bomb left, which Val has. And they're like, you should light it, light it, light it. Well, he doesn't want to light it. So he comes up with this other plan where he just takes off sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
When he takes off sprinting, Earl and Rhonda also.
Yeah.
His plan is to run to a cliff, which is also like in their neighborhood.
Yeah. And like then, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And then he lights the pipe bomb and he tosses it. And you think he's trying to hit it, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go off. Well, once the Graboid is past it, like charging them, then the bomb goes off. So the Graboid goes even faster and manages to like shoot himself off
this part
of a cliff.
Was gross too.
Yeah, because it, like, gross fell however many feet and exploded.
Yeah. And you get to watch it.
I want to know how they outran it by so much when they were having such a hard time outrunning it before. And they got to the point where they ran all the way to the cliff, stopped, lit the bomb, waited for it to catch up to them. That was just kind of.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I also wanted to know why Bert and Heather, the whole thing, they can't communicate outside the valley because on one side is a cliff, on the other side is boulders. Yeah. They're in the middle of nowhere, or mountains. Don't you think that Heather and Bert would have like a better way to communicate?
Yes.
With the outside of the valley?
100%. Especially like being that prepared and like having all the shit and stuff, they would. Absolutely. But Bert does say they picked Perfection Valley because it was isolated. Because they didn't want the outside people.
But in an end of the world type situation, which they were planning for, I feel like they would have had some type of radio to communicate.
All they need is themselves. Is kind of what I got from them.
I'm not saying that they would be reaching out to like take people in. But to listen and see, like, what was happening out there. What are you doing?
He has, like, a weird spot on his ear. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then, so, run it off the cliff. Yay. Everyone celebrates. And then it's just a little bit later.
Yeah.
Day or two later, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
And Val and Earl are, like, talking about leaving again.
And they are leaving.
Or they are leaving.
Yeah, they have their truck packed up. And then I think they're going to, like, National Geographic or, like, People Magazine. Like, they're going to, like, call them and say, hey, guess what?
Well.
Because in the second one, they're on the cover of something.
That, well, that's what they were saying when they found the first one. That be, like, famous. I don't think they're to that point yet because Rhonda was, like, calling people from the university. And, like, doing that sort of thing. And, like, she borrows somebody's camera to, like, document everything. But then it's, like, a whole, like, Earl is trying to talk Val into, like, asking out Rhonda because she comes over to kind of say bye. And it's really awkward.
And she's just like, okay, well, bye. And, like, walks back to her car. And you can tell
she wants her to be more, but he's just kind of like, okay, whatever. Well, then.
Even though, like, it's like a boy, whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, like, whatever. Like a teenage boy, whatever.
Yeah, but then Earl is like, go over there and talk to her. And then he goes over and kisses her.
Yeah.
The end.
The end. And that's Tremors. I love this movie, not because it's necessarily well done, but it reminds me of my childhood. Because I remember watching this with mom and dad and you when I was like 8 or something.
I like Tremors. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I can't remember more than like the third one, but I'm sure they're all amazing.
I for sure remember the second one because Bert and Heather got divorced. And I remember, like, that's the thing.
Oh.
But probably just because at that point they couldn't pay for Reba McEntire to come back.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's sad that they had to make him divorced, though. That she couldn't have just been, like, pursuing her country music
career. Oh, career. She started singing and it was she really good.
She started singing and she's really good.
Or, like, visiting her family or something.
Some hits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I always have, though. That's why I picked this one, because I didn't want to think about the last one that we did that was so sad.
You didn't want a depressing one?
No.
Not anymore.
I want to, like, laugh a little bit and be kind of scared and then have some guts. And
are you Tremors? Scared? Are you scared of Tremors?
Well, not, like, actually scared.
Creeped out.
Creeped out.
Yeah.
Not like I'm thinking about it at night. Like...
the graboids.
Because I don't think the graboids or their little snake mouths are particularly scary.
Yeah. I don't either. I think when I was a kid, though, I was scared of them.
The mouths look like, or like the tongue parts look like hand puppets.
Yes, they do. They're
definitely hand puppets.
Yes.
With like slimy mouths and like little horns on their head.
Yeah, where the eyes were.
Yeah.
Or are.
But.
I know you needed like one that made you feel comfortable after the last one. I'm sorry I made you watch it.
It was okay. It was just a lot. It was a little much.
But this one was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Happy Memorial Day, everybody, if you're in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll come out on Monday. It's supposed to be like 85 on Monday.
Are you for real?
I'm very excited.
I have to work. Of course.
Well.
I know.
At least it's 85, so when you get out of work, it'll be like.
It'll still be warm when I get out of work. It'll still be warmer. Yeah.
After this garbage weather we've been having.
You know what, though? I'm really pissed because I dug up half of my backyard to plant wildflowers.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to put down, like, topsoil and manure and all that to, like, give them a good base. So I dug it up. I didn't put any of the literal shit down or seeds. And then it rained for, like, 5 days straight.
It would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect. I would have little flowers by now in it.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm like, oh, I'll wait till after we get back from Chicago. And nope.
That's unfortunate. Because it's rained for like 3 days straight.
Yeah. And now it's probably going to dry. And I'm going to have to go out there and water it twice a day for like 6 months.
Yeah. That's awful. I'm sorry.
It happens. So life choices.
Life choices.
I've been busy lately.
I know. You've been pretty busy. We've been busy too, though.
Which, I don't know if I told you this or not. So we went to that concert. And I thought I would be funny the other night at the bar. And I played a Young Gravy song.
Oh, my God.
Because Tom was in there. So I'm like, I'm going to play one of the songs on the jukebox. And as soon as, like, I played it and then I went and sat down and then I looked at him and waited, like, because he was down the bar. I just watched him to see his expression. And as soon as, like, two beats in, and he just, like, smiled and, like, shook his head and looked like, down no. at me, like, what? But he said that he downloaded, like, two of his albums.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I listened to one song and I was just like, I don't know.
That's catchy.
Yeah. I'll say so. I don't know. I didn't have anything to say, so I was just like, eh.
Sorry. And Limp Bizkit was amazing.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, of like, course. Fred Durst still, like, had it. Like, yeah. It wasn't like...
He was sitting in a chair.
Like... He starts out in an old man recliner. Yeah. He gets, like, wheeled That's out on so stage cool. in, like, this old, like, green recliner.
And then he gets up and rocks out.
Yeah, and he's got a hat on and, like, a long wig, which I mm-hmm. thought was weird. And then this, like, jumper. And he gets wheeled out. And then he, like, stands up all, like, crotchety and starts singing. But
and
then
he's like, haha, just kidding.
Yeah, and then he starts wailing.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry. That sidetracked. Was... We can talk about this later.
That was Tremors. We hope everybody has a good week, a good Memorial Day. Stay safe if you are doing anything. All of that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.